previously on DI Plus.
I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
Remember when you first started Dubious Intent and for like the first three episodes.
I said previously.
You had previously on Dubious Intent.
Yes.
I think every week you should make a previously on Dubious Intent.
Oh now, my God. You're trying to add more work to me?
You're single? Dude, I prepare every piece of stuff that we do on this show right now. I put in the Trello. You like to do the audio stuff. I'm saying, and you listen to the show. So I'm saying you just do a previously on Dubious Intent and we play it live instead of, and that could start the show.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Super Bowl 97. I have no fucking idea what the actual number of the Super Bowl is because I don't watch sports. But apparently Adam is really big about the Super Bowl, so we're going to be talking about Super Bowl 97 tonight, which I hear that the Seagoobers are beating the Russians by 15 to 12 or something. I don't know. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Super Bowl 97 free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Daniel. I'm not all... How are you, Daniel, first of all?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. Now, I am not all about the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl is one of those What do they call it? Pop culture, iconoclastic, like American things.
Yes.
Even if you don't watch football, you gather around the old, widescreen TV, big screen TV. You put your snack foods out. You at least, you know, Mark and I actually started. We were behind. And so because we have a DVR, he forwarded through the football and we watched the commercials to start. But no matter what you do, watch commercials, watch the football, protest. It's a big thing. It's like another holiday.
I've enjoyed watching the commercials in the past. Usually what I do is because Hulu will have this thing where it's like they'll play all of the commercials from the Super Bowl. But because they're Hulu and because they're fucked up, and we'll talk about how fucked up Hulu is the other time. I just canceled my Hulu subscription. I don't understand why anyone in the world subscribes to Hulu, but that's not that. We'll talk about that later. My point is that Hulu, because they're fucked up, they will play the commercials, but they play commercials between the commercials. So it's like, here's the greatest Super Bowl commercials. And then midway through, they play one of their commercials. And it's just kind of like, but that wasn't in the same. Oh, it's just really annoying. So what I do now is I read like the Entertainment Weekly articles the next day, and they will link to the YouTube videos of the new commercials. Now, so far, I have not watched it all, but so far, is there a commercial that you've liked so far?
No, none of them. So there was a cute one that was Budweiser, and the dog goes out. It's a puppy. I think they had a puppy last year, too. I'm not sure. But this horrible Budweiser truck driver who doesn't care at all about his puppy, apparently, lets his puppy get out of the truck and get lost while he's making a delivery. And the Budweiser Clydesdales run out into the woods and save the puppy from a wolf. And then escort it back.
Now, this was the one that GoDaddy did a spoof commercial on. And because people, because you can't do spoof commercials now. The stupid thing is they somehow got leaked before the actual commercial got leaked. But what it was the same thing where there was a dog in the same kind of shot in the same kind of way. The dog was in the rain in the barn. And then, you know, the dog shows up back at the barn and the people are like, oh, I'm so glad you showed up because we just sold you on the website. And so then they ship the dog off. And it was a spoof of the Budweiser commercial, you know, of the overly sappy Budweiser commercials. kind of
right. Movie. I mean, I didn't say it was a good commercial necessarily. That's really the only one I remember. There was one other one that I think is also a repeat. Kathy Bacon in the chat room is saying that a lot of the commercials this year seem to be repeats. And I think I've seen this commercial before, but there's one about girls and it's not for a product. It's like maybe, trying to promote girls' self-esteem.
Maybe that is the product. Maybe girls are
right.
The product.
They're promoting girls. And so basically they ask all these young boys, you know, show us how a girl runs and show us how a girl fights and all that. And, you know, they're talking about that stereotype that people have about how girls do things. And then, you know, anyway, it's kind of another sappy one. And it's go to girlsselfesteem.com or something. I don't know. Anyway, so those are the only two that I remember off the top of my head. But I don't think they're... But I've never thought the commercials were that great anyway. They're still commercials, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't like commercials fundamentally. So part of me, I don't know, just doesn't like them out of principle or something,
all right,
I guess.
On. I have to do this. So there's one commercial, even though I haven't watched, there's one commercial that I do like, but you wouldn't see it unless you're in Connecticut. Here, let me play it for you right now.
When a healthcare system has the vision to grow, it means more jobs, healthier communities, and a brighter future for everyone. Find out how Yale New Haven Health is bringing that future to Connecticut.
That's our commercial. They sent out a link the other day. They're like, now, here's our private link because we won't make these public until after the Super Bowl. We're going to be playing these during the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, cool. Are you in it? Do they have
you sitting
at your desk with your tie on?
I no longer wear a tie. You know that, right? Did I ever cover that on the show, or was this during the whole horrible...
I don't think you did.
I've had a really, you know, difficult few months there. But no, so what happened is we got transitioned out of one department and got rolled into another department, which is now under IT. So we're now part of an IT department that we weren't before. And when that happened about 4 months ago, our dress code changed. So we no longer have to wear ties unless we're going to go to the hospital for a meeting or something.
By the way, and this is very important that we say this tonight, it is now 9:19 p.m. on a Sunday evening.
That is correct. And that can mean only one thing, that we are competing against the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, and this is our first Sunday doing this, and I really didn't expect a lot of people there. So we have the greatest, most wonderful, loyal fans in the chat room. Adam, who is in the chat room with us this evening?
We have Hunt Cub, Jimmy Bear, Melinda. Well, actually, it says Melinda, Nico, and Tardy Kathy Bacon.
Yes, because she was
so. And I'm assuming, you know, and we may have a different chat. We may have a different vibe now on Sunday nights, because the chat room that, you know, are free on Tuesday nights might not be the same chat room that's free on a Sunday night.
This is true. We may have to spend some money.
The whole show might have a different vibe.
A different vibe. That, you know what? The show might actually now be good.
Maybe. I don't know.
that would be something like that. Do you listen to the Big Fatty online?
I do, although I didn't know. You said you streamed him live earlier.
You know what? It was 8:30 and I had nothing better to do. And it was the halftime had just started. And I knew that we were going on live at 9. So I just basically went to his webpage and I streamed out his halftime show.
Oh, he had already released it.
Well, the number one fan show is a bonus show, but it gets released at halftime of the Super Bowl. So during the Super Bowl, then it's available on the website at halftime. So I went over to the website and I played it out. So there was nobody listening to the stream, I don't think. But if you were listening to the stream, you heard the Big Fatty episode. I can tell you that there were three fans for 2015, the number three, the number two, and the number one fan. And I'm not going to give away, you know, I'm not going to spoil it or whatever, even though by the time, you know, you're listening to this show, you probably already heard. I'm just saying, the number two and the number one folks, you should really watch your back, because that number three guy is really kind of ambitious. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm just saying, there may be some cut brake lines. There may be some accidental stair pushings, you know, of elderly folks. I'm just saying, really, you should, when I heard that number three position, I was like, ooh, that's going to be, because you know how like people get really, really cultish, you know, like, oh, he's my favorite, you know, like they like, and they start referring to people as gods and stuff. And they just have like this really intense kind of, I'm just saying,
at Pride 48,
I'm very concerned about two members of the Big Fatty audience, the number one and the number two fans, in that particular order. So just watch your back, guys. You've been warned. Watch your back. all I'm saying.
Yeah. So so anyway, so we are on the air during Super Bowl. Just for anybody who they just took the score off the screen, so I can't see it. But I might have a spoiler later about. I can tell you right now.
How would this be a spoiler? No one is going. All right. There are what, 5 people in the chat room. The rest of the people that listen to this show, it will be long after the Super Bowl. So you giving away a score is not going to mean anything.
Maybe they have it DVR'd and they're going to watch it on Tuesday or something. Right now,
if
it is
anything,
24.
If anything, I think we should fuck with them and then just make it sound more interesting than it actually was. So what's the score right now?
It's, well, I was going to be realistic. It's 24-14. Seattle is winning.
All right.
Currently.
So now, let's, oh my God, wait, I can see it on the TV behind you there. Oh my God. Someone just tripped and it looks like
Tom Brady.
The Patriots have now scored a double touchdown and an unprecedented, never before done thing. They scored 2 touchdowns at once and now it makes it 24-28. Patriots.
You don't even know what to. Oh yeah, you did get that right.
It's
actually
a double. It's a double. It's a double touchdown plus a double field goal. You know that they the extra point kick.
Yeah, and they're going to try for an offsides kick here in a moment.
That's right. And
There's a flag on the play. We can listen in.
Personal foul.
Oh, Jesus.
Unnecessary roughness. Defense number 29.
Unnecessary roughness was one of my favorite Jeff Stryker movies of all time.
Personal foul on number 29 for the Seahawks. So, yeah. Anyway, so you were going to talk about Joe Batanz. And who better to talk about than when we have a personal foul, unnecessary roughness on the play than Mr. Joe Batanz?
All right. So I was, you know, I listened to the show. I don't know if you listened to that show, Catching Up with Joe and Steve or whatever, Joe and Mike.
You know, I catch it on occasion, you know, when
I can. I was listening to that show. I was listening to the latest episode of the Catching Up with Joe and Mike. And I don't know if you know this or not. They had a contest where you could bid on owning your very own episode of Catching Up. And I won that contest. So I actually delivered to my Dropbox today was my very own personal episode of Catching Up.
Yeah, I heard that you won. I didn't.
I have a brand new unique episode of Catching Up here to do with as I want to, and they're just going to keep on going. Like, so they went ahead and recorded another show for release, and then they're going to keep it so until I give them whatever I'm going to do to this show, because I will, whatever I do to this show, I will give it back to them to put into their stream. So it'll be released as a bonus show later in the thing. But here's the thing. I was listening to this show. I was listening to Joe Batanz talk about the Magic Castle again. Oh, by the way, the contest was to raise money to help him pay for his dues for the Magic Castle. You know, which I was taken there, as was Nico. So I think
as a part of my GoFundMe to become a one percenter.
Yes.
Maybe we should also do that, record a special episode for a high bidder.
No one would bid for that. No one in the world would bid for that. All right. So here's the thing is I was listening to and Joe Batanz is talking about these kids that he took to the Magic Castle, right? These 2 kids. And he's talking about how great they are and how wonderful they are. They're all the nicest people. And they're just like, you know, they were the most excited people to be there and everything. And then he ditched them at the Magic Castle. Now, I don't know. I this is flashbacks here. Flashbacks to when Nico and I were at the Magic Castle and Joe Batanz ditched us there. It's like, so here's the thing. It's a scam. It's some kind of weird scam where he's like raising money to get his membership pay. He takes unsuspecting people to the Magic Castle and then just bails on them. Like just bails on them halfway through. It's like some kind of weird, twisted experiment in his head to see like how people like navigate strange places or whatever, you know. It's like, because both times, you notice it's never his fault, right? And the first time it was his friend Cameron's fault who got sick, right? This time it was Richard's fault, not his. It was just like, you know, so he always has that plausible deniability of like, oh no, I would have loved to stay. I would have loved to have, you know, stayed to be there, you know, with you and everything. If only it wasn't for, you know, my friend. I'm just saying, 2 times. Fool me once. Shame on you, Joe Batanz. Fool me twice. Not going to get fooled again.
Well, yeah, he takes those people with him. He picked 2 of the flakiest people he knows to go both times, knowing that they would flake out.
Right.
You know, so of course he does that.
I'm just saying. I know that you are planning to go to L.A., and I know that part of the thing that you were planning on doing in L.A. was going to the Magic Castle. I'm warning you right now.
He's going to ditch us.
He's going to ditch you. He's going to ditch you. Just be prepared for that.
Well, maybe if it's someone he really likes, he won't ditch them. So
that's the other thing. And then he goes on his show and talks about, oh, I really like Daniel and Nico. They're really great. And they seem really excited to be there. And he's like, oh, I really like Rob and whatever his name was. I don't know. The 2 twinks that he went there with. Oh, I really like them. They were great and everything. They were just super positive people. And, you know, but then I ditched them. I'm just saying, I think there is a disturbing pattern here.
Breaking news. We have a touchdown, New England. Apparently, over the time that we were talking, they deflated a couple of the balls and they were able to.
I don't even know what that is. I read a news story about deflating the balls and everything. And I don't even know what the. I don't even know what the thing was. You know what I'm saying? What am I trying to say? The controversy. What was that? I don't even know.
Apparently, they deflated some balls in the last game.
For the celebrity.
All right. Can I answer the death here?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Auntie Cruiser for the celebrity death home. Author of The Thornbirds, Colleen McCullough, dead at 77. Bye.
Colleen McCullough, author of The Thornbirds, dead at 77. Yes, no?
I don't know. Is that person famous? I mean, I don't know.
She's an author, Thornbirds.
So. Colleen McCullough.
Yeah, if you went out and said, oh my God, Colleen McCullough, author of The Thornbirds, died, people would go, oh, that's sad.
That's a hard one to spell.
Anyway, so I don't know anything about this deflating balls thing.
It doesn't matter. Right. I don't even know if it was proven or not because I didn't really follow up on the story. But they accused the New England Patriots of deflating some balls in the last game that they were in. And apparently, not all the way, but if you let a little bit of air out of the football, it makes it easier to catch.
There you go. Well,
so there you go. But I don't even know if that was proven to be true or
not. Wait, so there's some regulation pressure that has to be maintained in a football?
Correct. They have a regulation pressure that the football has to be. It can't be overinflated and it can't be underinflated.
All right.
Anyway, because if you overinflate it, it makes it harder to catch. So anyway. So this week I was at my desk working, as I am wont to do, as I normally do.
Yes.
And I get a phone call.
You get a phone call.
I got a phone call. Yeah, like that.
That's not the death phone. That was just a reenactment of you sitting at your desk and then your phone. Now, does your phone actually ring like that at Walmart? Like, does Walmart have the old jangle ring there at the in the Walmart center?
No, they're the IP phones that most companies have now. I don't even know what I don't even remember what that sounds like, but it was my cell phone. Anyway,
it was your cell phone. So it was basically, it was playing a Mariah Carey song or something.
Something like that. Yeah. I think usually have it on silent. So, so I answer the phone and it was my property management company.
Yes.
And
now well on your way to being a member of the 1%, have your own property management company that manages all your properties?
The property management company for the house that I'm renting, that I live in, because the house that I live in is a rental.
Yes.
And I didn't know what he was calling about because we're up on, we're always on time on our rent and, whatever. So he's like, hey, I had some questions about your lease that I wanted to ask you. He said, and I don't even know why he said that because he didn't really have any questions about my lease at all.
Right. Yes.
He has my lease. He knows my lease. But basically it boils down to he was calling me to let me know that the woman who owns my house has decided that she wants to move back into it.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. And you knew that when you moved out, lady. And I don't know.
And, not only that, no. Okay. So she's getting a divorce.
Yes.
And she needs a place to live apparently. And he says, so I think your lease is up when, like the end of June. And I said, yeah, the end of June. And we were planning on renewing the lease. We didn't have any intention of moving. It's a really good location for us and it's been working out really well. So I was really shocked to hear that. And then he goes on to say, well, and she was wondering if there's any way that you guys could move out early.
Yes.
Because she's getting a divorce and she needs a place to live like now. So
immediately I feel for her.
And he's like, but look, this lady's squirrely. She's done this before. I don't know about the divorce thing, but he's like, she's done this before.
Gotten divorced before.
I don't know.
She's a loose woman is what he's trying
he's
to
like,
imply.
She's the like, only reason that I manage her property is because she's friends with my wife. And,
right.
You know, and he's like, and last time she
in fact, she divorced,
mind,
she so. Divorced me. And that's how I met my wife. And then I have to manage it.
So I was shocked and he was like, but look, he's like, don't worry about it. Your lease is till the end of June. She just asked me to relay that to you. I'm letting you know if you just kind of let it sit for a couple of months, she may even change her mind.
If she doesn't change her mind, then you're basically going to be looking for a place to live right during Pride 48. Cause we do a live streaming event in June.
Well, we would be moving.
I know.
We would have, we would have found a place by then.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we would be moving right during Pride 48. That is correct. So then the next day, and I've seen these phone numbers that I didn't recognize had called my phone. And then I see that that person has left a message and it's her. Well, I don't want to talk to her. I hear
she's a loose woman. I really wouldn't talk to her. She's right. A very bad element. I wouldn't talk to her.
So I'm trying to avoid her, but finally, she just would not give up. I even left her a voicemail saying, look.
She started messaging you on Grindr. She was following you on Tinder.
I'm like, you know, I appreciate your situation. However, we're in no position to move at the moment. We were not planning on moving and whatever. So, and I thought with that voicemail, she would listen to that voicemail and give up. No, she kept calling me. So I had to answer the phone. So I talked to her. And of course, it was like a 15-minute guilt trip session about how she felt like she was in danger in her current situation and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
bullshit.
God. I mean, she may very well be in danger, but the point is you don't then move somewhere else.
Right. I have a signed contract.
If you feel, think about this. If you feel like you're in danger because somebody knows where you are and they can break in and hurt you, moving back to your house is not a good place to hide. It's like.
That's true, too. So, and they're asking in the chat room, am I a tenant at will? No, I have a contract. She cannot force me to move out. She can non-renew my lease, which apparently is what's going to happen. You know, and then of course my stepfather's saying, well, why don't you make her buy you out of the contract? So, I mean, I guess if we wanted to move early, I could say, yeah, pay the 3 months that, you know, however early I move, pay the months that I'm not living there back to me as a form of a payment for my pain and suffering, basically. Because I'm going to have to pay movers and, you know, all that, security deposits and everything else at a new place. But anyway, so I have no intention of moving beforehand, but we have to start looking for a new place, which is going to be a nightmare because
nightmare. But here, let me ask you a question, Adam.
Yeah.
Now you made a reference earlier to you becoming a one percenter because someone I believe is Nico Martinez, friend of the show Nico Martinez, posted on Facebook a map of the United States showing exactly how much you needed to earn in each state to be a member of the 1%.
Yeah, and did you know Arkansas is the lowest?
I was
going to
say, and much like internet speed, Arkansas is way, way low on the list. And I think, honestly, you and Mitten's combined income puts you pretty damn close to that. I mean, like, it's not like you have a whole lot further to go there.
We don't get there. We don't get there.
But not that far. Within 50,000 of that.
It depends. But
so here's my thinking. Right. Why don't you just buy a damn house, Adam? It's like you stop it with the renting stuff. Now you buy the house. Just go and buy a house.
I have been through that before.
Yes, I know you've been. But don't put it in both names. Just put it in your name. Just buy a house.
Well, the problem is,
I mean, he can't buy a house here anyway.
I had such a horrible experience with that last house of it being a weight around my neck, basically. Even if it had just been in my name, it wasn't a good time to sell. I needed to move.
But
I had to get people
to
rent it.
That was the whole thing. You had to move, but now you're in a job that you're not going to be leaving for the foreseeable future. It's not like Walmart's going to like go into any kind of, you know, fiscal danger here or whatever. You work for a relatively large company. Well, actually, you work for the world's largest company.
The largest company
right.
in the world.
But
yes.
The point is like it's not easy to get fired from there. Right? You're going to have to be warned 2 or 3 times before you can actually get fired because of the HR problems and everything. So it's not like you can just, you know, surprise, you're fired, right? I mean.
Well, that's true, except a senior manager was laid off last week with no warning in my department.
He says no warning. He could have been warned.
But he didn't tell me. They announced this. They laid off like 50 employees last week.
Okay. But my point is, like, I'm looking here. Like, I'm thinking about this here. I know this is really boring to people, but it's like I'm looking, you know, here that I'm in this place. I just signed the lease. I'm like, I'm going to spend $20,000 this year, or actually $25,000 this year in rent. It's like, you know, that's a, you know, what?
Wow. Eighth. How much is your rent?
$1,600 a month.
Jeez, how many square feet?
1,200, I think.
Jeez. I have a house that's about that, and I'm paying $1,200. I have
right,
a backyard
but
with
apartments
a fence.
Are more expensive than houses. That's just life, right? So, I mean, the point is I probably will look at buying a house next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my. I muted myself. I apologize for that burp.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. That was Diet Coke. No, you know what it was? I should just put this on the Trello, but I won't. I was trying a cooking experiment tonight and it failed. And now the entire house reeks of failure.
Were you trying to cook Indian food?
I was trying to make homemade chicken strips with coconut flour instead of flour. But because I don't have an electric griddle that I can accurately control the oil temperature, the oil got too hot on the stove. And so now the entire house reeks of like that kind of that oil smell. And you know what I'm saying? It's like it was a failed experiment.
Reading from the chat room again, they're talking about not knowing about tenancy and all that kind of stuff. And tardy Kathy Bacon, who apparently was tardy for the party or to the party. Damn it. She was tardy to the party because of the Super Bowl, I'm guessing.
Right.
She says she's been a homeowner for 18 years, so she's not familiar. Right. You know, I mean, I guess, but I like
And here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing. Let's say that her mortgage was like $1,600 a month or whatever. Well, you know, 18 years, she would have already paid off the house, right, at that $1,600 a month. What is the cost of your house?
My house, the rent?
The market. No, what's the market cost of your house, roughly? Like, what do you think?
This house is like $152,000.
So $152,000, and what do you pay a month?
$1,200.
So you've already paid for like almost a sixth of the house?
I don't know. It'll be 2 years that we've been here when we leave this place.
That period you would have paid $28,000, actually almost $29,000 in
something,
those 2 years.
Somewhere around there, yeah. Here is the deal. I do not think that I will live here forever, and
you
I don't
have
know how
to
long
live
I'll
forever.
Live here.
You don't have to live
but
there forever.
I didn't enjoy the process of having to sell my house and do all that stuff. And
okay,
I lost money on my house.
Yes, you did because of the time that it happened, right? You got to remember that the time that you sold your house was right during the crash. And it was like, it was a bad time to be selling a house.
I just sold my house last year. But anyway, I have a bad taste in my mouth. So I'm going to rent for a little while longer. Plus, here's what I want to do. I want to get the bad debt that I have. I want to get that taken care of before I get in any other house type situations. And I just took on a car payment. So anyway, I just don't feel like I'm in a position. So but we will be renting another house for sure, because I don't want another apartment.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, New York Giants, longtime owner Anna Mara died on the Super Bowl. Hello. It's Bacon calling the death phone line, and it's the Super Bowl, February 1st, and Anna Mara died. Dead. What a perfect day to die. I mean, like, not really. Like, well, you know, I mean.
Really?
Could it be any more symbolic to die on the Super Bowl? Hello. All right, New York Giants. All right, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Thank you. Okay, we'll see you at 9 p.m.
Right.
I'll make my speech, my announcement, commencement. No, what's it called? Acceptance speech.
The acceptance speech for winning the BFO number one fan award, which she did not do. All right. Yeah, Anna Mara. Anna, it's very sports ball. It's very,
it is.
And not to mention, very tasteless. What a perfect time to die.
It is Kathy right. Bacon.
It is. You know, wait, what is your beef with Kathy Bacon? I'm getting a little bit of an echo back from you. What is your beef with Kathy Bacon? Because I noticed that during the number one fan, by the way, if you haven't listened to the Big Fatty number one fan show, you can skip the whole damn thing. I'm telling you. Here's what happened. It's a 20-minute show, and literally the first 18 minutes and a half is him reading people's emails. Wow.
But isn't that what his
Steve,
whole show is?
Wow. Adam Burns writes in and says, I want to be the number one fan because I hate Kathy Bacon, and I think she should die a painful death. I think she should die on the day of the Super Bowl because I think that would be perfect. I mean, it's like that. It was just like that, one after the other. And who else wrote in? It was like Stevie Wonder wrote in and said, I think I should be number one fan because I'm blind and black.
I did not say that I wanted Kathy Bacon to die a horrible death, nor did I say. And Jimmy Bear in the chat room is saying that a mortgage for $150,000 would be about $750 a month.
Yes.
I don't know where that is that would be the case, or how much of a down payment you would have to pay. Because I had it in Texas, my mortgage was $156,000, and I paid $1,560 a month, or roughly thereabouts, for my mortgage, mortgage insurance, and interest.
Well, that's okay.
So I don't know.
But that's the mortgage insurance. That's where they get you, is that damn PMI stuff. But yeah,
was only $75 a month.
Okay, fine.
So maybe in Texas. Property tax is higher because
you probably just had a really shitty interest rate. Because here's the thing, right? So he's absolutely correct. Like a $150,000 mortgage at 4%, which is still a bad interest rate, at 4% over 30 years, right, with no PMI. So you're just taking a 30-year amortized mortgage for $150K. It's going to be about $750 a month.
Okay, well, I think the property taxes are higher in Texas.
Yes, all right, because they roll in the property taxes and stuff like that.
There's no income tax in Texas, and I probably had a shitty interest rate, and they, because of the kind of loan that I got, they roll in the taxes, insurance, and everything into your mortgage.
And here's the thing that always gets me. It's like, because people always think, okay, well, $150K house, it's going to be $750 a month for 30 years. So then they immediately think, well, I can't do a 15-year mortgage because that's going to be $1,500 a month, which is absolutely not true. Like for 15 years, if you were to amortize that out at like 15 years, it's probably only going to go up to about like $1,000 a month. So it's probably maybe $1,100 a month. But it's not double. It's not anywhere near double. And the point is you're cutting off 15 years of basically paying people. So you're saving 15 years of paying things. You're building up your equity faster and everything. And it's not a doubling kind of a thing. I just wanted to point that out.
Right. Well, anyway, all I know is that everything together, mortgage, insurance, property taxes, because that was escrowed and that was all included in my house payment.
Right. Now let's say, there's nothing, there's nothing more interesting on a podcast than to read a bunch than to read a bunch of numbers. But Kathy Bacon's house was $169,900. She put 20% down. Her house payment is $731 a month. Her insurance, which includes a boat, a golf cart, and a hot tub, is $1,400 a year. And her taxes are $3,750 a year. So her payment is $1,197. Here's the thing. She is just like, she's got a boat and a golf cart and a hot tub. Do you have any of these things, Adam?
I don't.
You know why? Because you're wasting your money away by paying, just throwing it away in rent. If you had a $731 mortgage payment, then you too could have a boat.
All right. So first of all, I have an announcement. We talked about the orchestra thing last week and what I should do because Valentine's Day there were performances. That's the opening weekend of the show.
Yes.
And Mark and I were going to go out of town. So here's what I did. I don't know if he cared or not, but here's what I did. I text messaged her back and I said, I can't do it because I'm going to be out of town that first weekend. So then she text messaged me back and said, I completely understand this was a last minute thing. I should have given you more time, blah, blah, blah. But I have 3 dates that I need covered on the 20th, 21st, 22nd, or 19th, 20th, 21st. Right. Can you play those? So I am going to be out of town like we had planned. We're going to go out of town. We don't even know where yet, but we're going to go somewhere.
Yes.
For Valentine's weekend. And I'm also getting to play 3 of the shows of Legally Blonde.
Absolutely.
So that all worked out fine. And I have one question for everyone. No one ever answers my question, but I'm going to ask everyone anyway.
Yes.
This is completely unrelated, but I ordered Chili's tonight for our Super Bowl kind of snacky kind of food. So we got like...
Because you are a foodie and there nothing right, says foodie exactly. Like takeout from Chili's.
No, we've been working for like ever and we've been working till 10, 11, 12 at night every
what,
night no,
what,
this week,
what
both
did
of
you,
us.
What did you get from Chili's? What did you order?
So I got the pretzel breadstick.
Oh, wait, hold on just a second there. And yeah, I planned that one. I'm sorry. All right. But yeah, good news is the last one. Yes. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I see Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Just ringing in for Geraldine McEwen, dead at 82. She played Miss Marples, or Marple, on 12 TV episodes of Agatha Christie book shows.
Miss Marple. Okay, bye. Now, if you went out and said that Geraldine McEwen died, or whatever it was, no one would get it. But if you said, oh my God, Miss Marple died.
Right. I went ahead and gave him $2. Well, I didn't give him $2, but I threw $2 into the pot.
Right.
So I never, look.
So you have the pretzel. You're not done. You got the pretzel things.
Yeah, we got the pretzel things. I got the triple dipper appetizer. Got the two of the big mouth bites because I happen to like those little, the little burgers, small burger. There's a word for it, but small
sliders.
Burgers. Sliders, thank you. And the honey chipotle chicken strips.
Yeah.
And then we just got chips and salsa. And then I also got for dessert, I got one of those molten cakes. But anyway.
Just a small meal. A small little meal from Chili's.
We shared.
Okay.
I can eat one of those triple dipper things, the appetizer platter, by myself.
Okay.
We split it. right. So I'm doing good. Look, I eat a lot of food. I'm telling you people, but I'm trying to cut back. And so I sat next
to you in that restaurant when you were shoveling down the profiteroles. You were just like,
right. I know. I eat a lot. Anyway, so look, and I know Joe Batanz is going to have something to say about this whole Chili's things. And oh my God, Adam, do we care?
Do we care?
And Food Network places. But, well, you made a joke about it. So
no, I'm just saying. But do we care what Joe Batanz says about... Joe Batanz can't even eat at a place that has tables and chairs, so he's not like he's in any kind of position to talk about.
Every meal that I have doesn't have to be a five-star restaurant. We eat at all different types of places. But anyway, so, and this was just like, you know, halftime food, whatever you call it, snack food. So, but my question is, I order out a lot and from actual restaurants where you order it online or whatever and go pick it up. And it's not like a fast food place. It's like a Chili's or Olive Garden or whatever, you know, and you go in, they bag it up and give it to you. Well, they have a place on the receipt for a tip.
Yes.
And my question is to everyone, and Mrs. Manners, if she listens to this show, do you leave a tip when you're getting a to-go order? Because here's my deal. I think a tip is to reward someone that has waited on you for a period of time and brought drinks to your table and, you know,
Wait. Let's call a spade a spade. A tip is to make up for the fact that the employers are not paying the people that normally wait on tables the legal minimum wage, right? The least amount of money that they can legally pay the person. They don't even want to do that. They want to pay them less than that. And they like say, oh, no, the customer will make it up because this way they'll earn their thing, right? But here's the thing. When I worked in restaurants, and someone can tell us if this has changed. When I worked in restaurants, when I was working takeout, I got paid minimum wage. I did not get paid the $2.01 an hour or whatever it was, the waiter bartender wage. So when I was working the drive-through or I was working the takeout, I got paid minimum wage. But when I was on the floor, I got paid the waiter stuff. So they were not anticipating a portion of my salary being compensated by tips.
Right. Okay. So, but the back in the day, the concept of a tip, I thought, was to, you know, if you've received good service, it is something extra you pay on the top to tip.
It may have started off that way, but it has now turned into the fact that we are basically subsidizing, the restaurants.
That's a completely different conversation, although I don't think it's my responsibility to subsidize a waiter's
wages. Then don't eat in America. Then go eat in another country where they pay their employees.
But so my question is, this person that just brings the food out to me,
yes,
may have done absolutely nothing, and they may not even be a waiter, so they may not even make the same wages.
Yes.
The
chat room is saying no, you don't tip them.
So anyway, my question is, because they're standing right there looking at you as you're signing the receipt.
Yes.
So I feel guilty if I don't put, and I think, you know, the next time I come back in, they're going to like spit in my food.
They've already spit in your food. Here's the thing. If they bring it out to my car, like curbside stuff, if they bring it out to my car, then I treat them like a bartender. I tip them $1. It's like, if I get a drink from a bartender, I'm going to tip them $1. Right. So it's like, if, because usually when I buy a drink in a bar, it's a beer. Right. So for you screwing the top off of that beer, I'm willing to pay you $1 because I'm a gay man. And that's how I was brought up. So it's like, if you can bring that cold, the bag of food out to my car and put it in my window or whatever, then yeah, I'll give you the same $1 as if you had twisted a cap off my beer.
I normally, and some people will think I'm cheap and some people will think I'm generous, but my normal tip is 20%. Some people may do more than that, but my normal tip is 20% if I receive okay service. Sometimes I'll go up to 25 or 30%. But like if I'm feeling guilty, I'll give a 10% tip to that person at the thing. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking they walked 3 feet and picked up the bag and put it on the thing and handed me my receipt to sign. That's all they did. Because they make up that bag in the back in the kitchen. Anyway, so...
I'm just saying...
Anyway.
Here's the thing. Here's what you do.
They don't bring it to my car. I walk in and go to the register. Right.
Where's the website? Where's Chili's?
Maybe they have a thing on there that says... I just don't know. I mean, if I'm supposed to do it, I want to. But I don't even know that person that I'm talking to had anything to do with my order at all.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I don't think the Chili's corporate offices are open right now. Or else I would say, let's just call the corporate office. Let's get some closure on this. But they're not open on a Sunday evening.
Because they're not, a lot of times the hosts are the ones that take care of those to-go orders.
And they get paid an actual minimum wage.
I think they get paid minimum wage or more.
I mean, honestly, we are talking about people that are getting paid the the least amount of money that you can legally pay someone. So it's not like, but again, it's not like a high skill thing. Anyway, I don't know. What I would do, I would just, yeah. There's no way in hell, Adam, that you should ever tip one of those people 20% ever. It's just they didn't do that kind of, you cannot equate them to someone who has sat there your entire meal bringing you drinks and, you know, bringing the food over to you and then like watching you eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Coming right. Back they spent 5 minutes at most.
They have not only that, but they have a lot higher turnover than someone who, you know, when you're tipping a waiter, you're also basically paying for the fact that you've taken up a section of his earning potential for a period of time.
Right.
If you sat there for an hour and a half, then you've like basically taken up that table for an hour and a half, right? Whereas the takeout person basically has a lot more throughput. So it's more of a, you know, I don't feel guilty handing them a buck because there's going to be a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? A lot more people coming through.
Right. Anyway, that's it. If anyone works in the food service industry or has any input in that, feel free to let me know what you think, because it is a burning question that I have every time I order that type of takeout.
All right.
I never know what I should do.
So I was going to say, I had a big thing that I wanted to talk about on Pride 48, and I started to write it because I wanted to write this out because I wanted it to be well thought out and well talked about. Just because there's certain things that I feel like I, Daniel Brewer, want to say that are not me being a suit for Pride 48 or whatever. Like these are things that I, my own personal feelings about certain things that are happening in the world of streaming audio, in the world of gay streaming audio right now. There's things that annoy me and there's things that frustrate me about that I, as a suit of Pride 48, am neutral on, but I, as an individual private citizen, am not neutral on. And there are things that I wanted to say, but I wanted to make sure that I write it out correctly because, you know, one of the problems I have is that when I say something, it gets interpreted crazy and then people like, you know, oh, Daniel said he hates puppies. So I wanted to write that out. So I will do that by next time.
So you're saying you have one opinion when you put on your suit, and then when you take it off, you have a different opinion?
I would hope that people would understand that, right? I mean, like, here's the thing. I don't want to pull any Band-Aids off of old wounds or anything, but quite famously, I had a big, huge public blowout with a member, you know, a participant of Pride 48, like the third year, right? Like a big, huge Twitter blowout with one of the participants.
Yes.
Where numerous nasty barbs were tossed back and forth, blah, blah, blah. If that person wanted to live stream on Pride 48, I would absolutely help her do it. You know what I'm saying? I would give her, in other words, as a suit of Pride 48, as someone who is, you know, part of the people that tender Pride 48, which is a free resource for the entire LGBT community, my personal feeling should not affect whether I, like, you know, give that person time on this station or not. In other words, it's all first come, first serve. There's no, you know, even you and I moved our show to where it was at because, you know, we had taken a hiatus and someone else had taken our time slot. And it's like, we're not going to walk in and say, oh, you have to move. So my point is that, yes, as a suit of Pride 48, I feel like it is my job to be neutral. I feel like it is my job to not let my personal feelings affect anything that happens. That Pride 48 should be run in a very neutral manner.
Yeah.
But no, me as a person, I'm a podcaster. Of course I have opinions. I say crazy shit all the time. But, you know, and I do, I'm a very opinionated person and I do have definite opinions about, you know, things that are happening in the world, like Rainbow Radio and QCast FM or QCast Radio or whatever. I have very definite opinions about that. I have very definite opinions about people that are, you know, guilting other hosts into like basically like, you know, into the kind of content that they do. And I want to really say, I just want to make sure that it's written out well. So I will talk about that next time. That's what I'm trying to say.
I just have to say, 20 seconds left on the clock. The Seahawks are behind now by 4 points.
Oh,
and they were about to score and New England intercepted the ball.
Wow, this is fascinating. This is going to play so well in people's cars tomorrow. All right, here's the thing is I wanted to talk about this, though, about Pride 48. I know that Taylor over in the Pride 48 group on Facebook had asked the general question on when people were planning to arrive in Vegas this year, since we are starting on a Thursday this year, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that most people, I haven't, like, tallied this up here, but it looks like most people, the majority of the people that have responded to that have said that they're going to come in Wednesday and they're going to leave on either late Sunday night or Monday. So it looks like Wednesday to Monday is the kind of thing that's heading in there. I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth here. We are, you know, moving to a 4-day event this year. However, the Thursday night stuff. So if you're worried about, you know, oh, I got to get there, you know, Wednesday night so that I'll be there on Thursday for all day long stuff. We're not going Thursday. All we're going to do is the pink carpet and the opening show and then a big pizza party after that. So we're not going to actually start on Thursday until the evening time in Vegas. So it's going to be, you know, like 6 or 7 p.m. in. So if it means you, you know, not having to take an extra day off of work or whatever, you know, it's fine for you to come in Thursday evening. Cause that's all we're doing on Thursday. So even if you miss, you know, a part of the pink carpet and the opening show, you'll still be there for the pizza party cause that's going to run late. So the point is that you need to, just keep that in mind. So if I would love to see you there on Wednesday, that's great. If you want to come in on Wednesday night, that's great. You know, and please do, but I'm just saying, don't feel like, oh my God, it's 4 days. I have to be there. We're just moving that we're just kind of moving things off so that we have a Thursday evening and then have an all day Friday and all day Saturday and all day Sunday. So.
Yeah, don't feel like you have to, but if the pink carpet and opening show is an important thing to you, then do know it is Thursday night.
Correct. And yeah.
Like if you want to dress up and all that.
Right. And we're still working on some other stuff, right? There's still some things that are, I don't know, we're still working on some things with scheduling and stuff. So I'm hoping that this year is going to be a lot more free time for people to do things, but we can talk about those at later time. But right now, let's do this. So am I reading this correctly? The Patriots won? Is that the...
Looks like it. There was only 20 seconds left, and I don't know if the time clock has run out yet. But since you have 25 seconds shot clock or whatever it's called, they can take a knee.
They take shots. So instead of playing, they just sit down and have shots. They just basically
there's 20 seconds. Okay, they just won.
They drank.
There's 20 seconds left. Well, there's a flag on the play. Anyway, yes, more than likely they have won. There's 20 seconds left. You get 25 seconds on that play clock every time there's a play. So theoretically, you could take a knee.
Now, who is that stoic-looking man that is on the TV right there? He looks
the
unhappy.
Coach of the Seahawks, but I don't know his name.
He looks very unhappy. Turn up the ref. What is he saying?
I missed it. Sorry.
He's calling some kind of foul. Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, there's a foul. They are actually going to give the game to the Seahawks. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. They are changing the ruling here. They are no longer going to credit the Patriots with their hoop shots, and they're going to give it to the Seahawks, who have made
getting in a fight.
Oh, look at that. Look at that right there.
Sheesh. Another flag. Oh, my God. They're like...
Wow.
They are like fighting, like a fist fight. Like, seriously, there
what
are going to be some
fuck?
Fines. They are still going at it.
I like how the fat referees try to get in the middle of their leg to break these guys up.
Wow, there's another flag.
It's like clowns.
18 seconds left.
Like clowns at the rodeo. Well, let me just get in the way here. I'll just like put myself between these two like immovable objects or whatever. So
I don't even know what that means that there was a fight like that. I'm sure there are fines for someone.
Somebody hit somebody in the head.
But I still think the Patriots have won.
What is the score? What is the official score?
28-24.
Well, so all right. Well, maybe if the Patriots get penalized for that, then...
Well, they don't hand out points. Well, anyway...
They don't get to make a free shot from the... from the three-point zone?
Yeah. No. That's a different game, Daniel. That's basketball.
Gotcha.
That's what you're thinking about. So I'm gonna go into this one. Many people love pizza topped with chicken, but one man got more than he bargained for after ordering a Domino's pizza. chicken claw.
The pizza was chopped. The pizza was topped with chicken McNugget.
Yeah. No, he had a chicken claw on his pizza. So Andy Eckersall, who's 35 and an IT director in Manchester, England, was eating a large tandoori hot pizza. First of all, don't make an Indian pizza. Ugh. Just don't do that.
Why would you not make an Indian
pizza? I don't know. Just Indian and pizza don't seem to go together to me. But, you know, curry pizza. I'm not sure. But anyway.
Maybe they meant American Indian. Maybe they meant, I don't know.
No, tandoori. Tandoori is Indian. But anyway, he felt something hard lodge into his gum.
Yes.
He pulled the object out of his mouth to discover an inch-long grizzly black claw.
Oh,
He said, I initially thought it was a burnt piece of pizza. When I pulled it out, I saw it was this claw with gristle around the knuckle.
And then I kept eating it. But then, it's disgusting. I'm sure that like that's like John Ong, if he's listening to this, he doesn't listen to the show, but John Ong would be like, oh, that sounds delicious.
He says, I initially wanted to throw up. My wife was horrified. It was the last piece of that half of the pizza. He adds, it was not really solid because it had been baked. It could have hooked into someone's throat. It could quite easily have been swallowed and got jammed.
But it wasn't.
He contacted the branch and made a complaint. Their immediate response was that they were sorry and that they would send another pizza. He said he didn't want another pizza. And they said they would send a driver to collect the bonus topping and remaining uneaten pizza.
No, we'll make a new pizza, this time with less gristle around the claw.
So the van didn't show up and he got no response from his complaint for the company. So he went to their UK Facebook page to post a rant, and that has been deleted.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, so a spokesman for Domino's said in a statement, the safety of our food is of utmost priority for Domino's, and we have strict processes and procedures in place.
As gay men, aren't we supposed to hate Domino's? I lose track of these things, but aren't we supposed to hate Domino's? Didn't they, like, do something to us? I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
It's like the guy that owns Domino's, like, owns some big Christian cult thing, or I don't know.
This is definitely, it is definitely a chicken claw, though. Or some type of claw. Now, here is something
new from Domino's, the chicken claw pizza.
I don't even know how that happens, because surely they don't process their own chicken.
No, but they probably buy industrial size cans of shredded chicken that went through some. So it was probably a manufacturing thing, right?
Maybe. So it happens once a year, the great contest of pigskin being tossed back and forth over a 100-yard playing field in sun, rain, sleet, or snow.
It's called rugby.
Which, by the way, the New England Patriots have won, ladies and gentlemen. The Super Bowl, it draws a massive audience from every demographic and pumps millions, if not billions, of dollars into our economy. And every year, as if on cue, the city hosting the Super Bowl announces an awareness campaign to combat sex trafficking around what many in the media have referred to as, quote, the biggest weekend for U.S. prostitution.
Yes. I feel like we did this story last year. Yes.
I don't think we did. I don't know. It's not, this story is not from last year. So, for example, Scottsdale announced a billboard campaign earlier this month, and the Phoenix Police Department recently revised its policy concerning prostitution. And while it makes sense that an event that draws hundreds of thousands of spectators would increase the demand of sex for sale, there isn't much evidence to support the claims. Now, I have a question. This may be a stupid question, kind of like me thinking.
You know what, Adam? There are no stupid questions. There are only stupid answers.
What's the difference between prostitution and sex trafficking?
Okay, so do you want a serious answer?
Yes, I want to.
All right, here's the serious answer. I'm going to give you the serious answer. Prostitution, generally, not in all cases, because sometimes there is some mix over between, there's some bleed over between the two things. But the distinction between the two is that prostitution is a voluntary act. I'm going to go out and I'm going to perform sex acts and I'm going to charge money for it, right? I may have a pimp. I may have somebody above me that takes a percentage or whatever. Or there may be, I might be a call girl that has some kind of thing, whatever. But by and large, I have chosen to go and do this. I have chosen through whatever life circumstances, whatever, because I like it or because I feel like I have to, I have chosen to go out and perform sex acts for money. Sex trafficking is generally underage girls that are kidnapped from their home countries immediately, like these very destitute countries. They answer an ad in the paper like how they can make a lot of money, right? They go to this like big warehouse or whatever. They give them their passport. They, seize their passports and everything and basically put them in crates and ship them over to America and then basically farm them out to be raped, basically. There's no other nice way to put this. And they get no money for it. They get no, they're not there by choice. They're not getting any money for it. They're basically slaves. They're basically, they're basically slaves. That's sex trafficking.
So this one sex trafficked woman says she would see between 10 to 30 different men a night. Didn't matter how tired she was or how much money she made. She had to be loyal her entire shift for the entire weekend or face a fine of $1,500. When she was finally got home, she was walked in the door and her pimp took all of her 100% of her earnings. But she did say, was the Super Bowl my busiest weekend as a trafficked high class escort? You would think so, since Vegas, and this person was in Vegas, is a mecca for sports betting and conventions. But to be honest, it wasn't my busiest weekend for money and tricks. In a town with more than 39 million visitors annually, any given weekend we were kept busy 24/7.
See, and I wouldn't classify her as being a sex trafficking generally involves you know, those women having no freedom. It's not like they could go home at the end, because then they wouldn't show back up. There was no, it's like, this makes no sense to me as to why, you know, she's conflating the two. It's like, you know, I'm a sex trafficked woman, but I would go home at the end of the day. It's just like,
yeah, that's why I was, yeah, that's why I was,
no,
confused
you're just
too.
You're a prostitute, basically.
So anyway, evidently Super Bowl weekend, some people think is a big,
it is, because here's the other thing
weekend.
Though. Those underage girls that are sold like that, they don't cost a lot. Right. So then what you end up with, you know, drunk sports fans or whatever. They say, I want a prostitute. You know, I'll pay $100 or whatever. So it's not like these aren't like $1,000 an hour things. These are like, you know, $100.
Right.
I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, boilerplate or not boilerplate, but just very
run of the mill.
Well, no, like blue collar, I guess, or just very.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, blow and go.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's very, you know, a volume business there, I guess.
All right. Well, that's the news.
Oh, that was the news. Oh,
I had another one about
famous.
The Super Bowl, but it's already over, and I think
nothing
we're Super Bowled
can top
out.
The Super Bowl other than, you know, punching people in the face. That's really good.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta! Yeah! So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Excellent. Welcome to the DI Plus birthday segment. This is, of course, the segment of the show where Adam will play me musical cues to whose birthday it is, and using only my brain and my head brain, as it were, I figure out whose birthday it is. And I usually don't get it right, so then I ask the chat room to help me. So there we go. That is the gist of it. Adam, what is our first musical cue for this segment?
And as you all remember, we learned on this very show what gist means. I think I gave that little tidbit of information. Here is our first birthday.
Yes. Not hearing anything.
Anything?
No. Is this Salt and Pepper? I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna play something else. That's a theme song to a TV show.
Being
home alone, the first day that Portia was gone, I got home from work and our house felt like it was like really, really big and empty. And mainly because our house is really, really big, and we had just sold all our furniture. But
right now, that is Ellen DeGeneres.
It is.
Is that the theme song to Ellen DeGeneres?
It is.
Oh well, then happy birthday, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres turned 57 years old.
57 years. You know, I think I said this last year. She, you know, she and Fatty are basically the same age.
Wow. Anyway, I want to say something. She looks a lot younger when she wears high collared shirts because they cover up the little neck waddle that goes on.
Yes.
Anyway.
The neck waddle. Now, does Big Fatty have a neck waddle?
No, I don't know. Well, I'm not saying that Big Fatty has a neck waddle. I haven't contemplated the status of his neck. But when I watch Ellen and she wears a shirt without a collar, I think, man, yes. Mm-hmm. She looks so much younger when they put a collar on her. Anyway. All right. Here's our next one.
I think there's a lot of lesbians that like to put a collar on her. This is the theme to MASH.
Yeah, it is. And I have, oops, that's not the one I meant to play, but that's okay.
But it is.
I'm going to play this other one.
It's called Suicide is Painless, by the way.
Yeah. Here's the other one.
La la la. La la la. This is the theme to the West Wing?
It is the theme to West Wing.
Yes. La la. President Bartlett says. Let's see. Welcome to the West Wing.
So it would be someone.
I know. So somebody who was on MASH and was in the West Wing. I was just swept up in my singing of the West Wing theme song. So let's see. Who was on? Now, was he in it? Was Alan Alda actually in the West Wing? I'm assuming that's who it is. It must be Alan Alda.
It is.
But I don't remember. What did he play in the West Wing?
He was. Sorry. Is that him that I have pulled up?
How would I know?
He was. I don't have him pulled up. He played a senator. But I don't have that pulled up. You can look on IMDb if you want to. But he was on there for multiple seasons. So yeah, he was. I confirmed with IMDb. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to pull it up and tell you?
No, it's fine. Just go ahead and tell me. Tell me how old is Alan Alda?
Oh, okay. Alan Alda is 79 years old.
79 years old. Now, here's the thing that throws me about Alan Alda. Do you watch Survivor?
I do, but I haven't seen him on Survivor.
No. So Survivor, I don't remember what season it was. He came back on All Stars, but there was a Survivor contestant named Jonathan Penner. He was on there. And the thing that I remember about Jonathan is that when I heard him talk, he sounded exactly like Alan Alda. So I'm going to play a clip here of this is Jonathan Penner talking. Well, that's a theme song to the Hollywood.
I knew that if I wasn't in a season with a lot of returning players, that a lot of the newer players would be, you know, get this old guy out of here. He's had two shots already. He's got a lot more experience than we do. He knows some of the ins and outs.
Now, doesn't that sound exactly like Alan Alda?
It does. It does, actually.
So there you go. That's the other guy.
It does. Wow. Anyway, happy birthday, Alan Alda.
Or Jonathan Penner. We're not sure who.
May you be in many more episodes of shows. Okay. All right, so here is the next one. I have two for this one. You probably won't know this theme song, but I don't want to play. I don't want to be too obvious.
This is Crime Watch. We watch crime. Is it a CSI? I don't know.
No.
I had no idea. Is it a procedural?
All right, well, I'm just going to play the next theme because you'll know this one.
This is the theme to Magnum P.I.
Yes, it is.
So is it Tom Selleck?
It is.
No, wait, what was that first theme?
The first theme was Blue Bloods.
Oh, play it again.
Okay. I closed that window, but I'll pull it up. Give me one moment.
Take two. Take two. They're small.
All right. Here we go.
My blood is blue, and I want to arrest you. It's Blue Bloods. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. I wanted to sing the song. That's all.
I mean, I don't know anybody who's watched that show. I think it's for the over 70 crowd.
I live alone now, so I can sing theme songs. It makes me very happy.
But yeah, anyway. I used to watch Magnum P.I. when I was a young'un. And Tom Selleck is 70 years old.
Magnum P.I.
All right, here's our next one.
All right, wait for it. Oh, Suit and Tie. I don't know this song, but I know the title of this. Is this Justin Timberlake? Now,
yes.
I'm going to admit something to you. I saw in a story earlier that Justin Timberlake had tweeted out on his Instagram that his wife was pregnant, and they said a happy birthday present for Justin Timberlake. His wife is pregnant. So there you go. I kind of knew that it was Justin Timberlake's birthday today.
Yeah, so Justin Timberlake, it was his birthday. He is 34 years old.
34 years. You know, he's older than you, Adam.
He's not older than me. I wish. No, I'm 36. Anyway, so happy birthday, Justin Timberlake. And here is our last one. And I could have done more research, but I really only knew one show that this person was in. So
it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
Hello.
This is one of those 70s shows. I don't know. I got no idea.
Well, it's the theme heart. The theme heart.
It's New Heart.
It's the theme. Yes. It's the theme.
No, this was not the theme. This was not the theme to New Heart. This was the theme to the Bob Newhart show.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Excellent.
Theme to the Bob Newhart show.
So it must be Bob Newhart's.
It is not Bob Newhart because he was in multiple shows.
Okay. Then do I get another clue or?
Well, it's someone else that was on that show.
It was the guy. It's Carol. Marcia Wallace, Carol.
No. I know other things she's been on. For instance, she was the voice of somebody on The Simpsons.
Is it Suzanne Pleshette?
It is. Suzanne Pleshette. Suzanne Pleshette, who I like a lot.
But even though you don't know anything that she's in.
Well, I don't. I only knew
I like her a lot. I just couldn't remember the fact that she was in The Birds and in The Ugly Dotson and,
only if they were TV shows, because you would never get movie theme songs. There are very few movies that you would recognize the musical theme to.
She was in Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
But would you have known that?
When I'm dead.
Anyway,
you have the theme to the Shaggy D.A. because I watched that. I like that movie.
She is dead.
That had that great Tim Conway in it.
But had she not been dead, she'd be 78 years old. She died relatively young. I think she died in I didn't look it up.
I just had her page up. I'm sorry. She died. She died in 2008.
7 years. So she was 71 when she died.
Yeah. She was in Good Morning Miami. Do you not remember that exciting TV show that was only on for one season?
No, I don't. Who was that? Was that with...
it's Mark Feuerstein and Constance Zimmer and Matt Lesher. Yeah, I gotta tell you, with such a high-powered cast, I don't know how you could... failed in that. It was like a talented young TV producer arrives in Miami to revamp the lowest rated morning show in the country. Well, there you go.
Apparently that show was the lowest rated show.
All right, great. All right. Let's head over to the Pride 48 page. And I can tell you that Kevin Orr and Cola Boy 29 both had a birthday on January 31st. Happy birthday to both of them. If you would like to have your birthday show up on the front page of Pride 48, make sure you head over to pride48.com and sign up for an account. And when you do so, click on the little thing that says, yes, I would like my birthday to show up on the front page of the account.
Great job! Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you. See you soon. Hasta luego.
Bye, Dora. Happy birthday to you.
Mama.
Happy birthday to you.
Mama.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Cumpleaños feliz. Happy birthday.
Excellent. We have a collection of emails and voicemails here this evening in our contact segment that is unparalleled in the history of emails and voicemails. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I was actually stalling because I forgot to do this earlier. We got an email. Why don't you read the email first here? It came from Lamont Cranston, and he sent something that he wanted us to play, but I wanted to find a better version of it.
Okay. It says, you already have a bit of a 70s and 80s PBS Kids TV TV in your show. How about starting it off with some as well? Something else. I don't know. Anyway, I always loved this. And then he put a link to a YouTube video of an opening to a 70s or 80s PBS show. And that was the crux of his email.
It was, and I'm trying to find it, and I'm not finding it here. What he included was, and I'll just go ahead and play his version of it, because, here's the thing. All those old TV shows, we had the same problem with finding the theme to Contact, right, which was also a PBS show, is that there's no place that, that produces really good quality versions of those shows. Like, you can't just, go find them on YouTube or find them wherever they are. And did I close the Trello? Oh, no, there it is right there. So let's see. This was what he wanted us to play. is, of course, the theme to The Electric Company, the original theme to The Electric Company, which had, you know, a bunch of no-named people in it, like Morgan Freeman and Rita Moreno. That always just like blows my mind. That is like I grew up as a kid watching a TV show, you know, kids' TV shows done by, Rita Moreno and Morgan Freeman and other things like that. But I appreciate that. But you know what we have decided to do, Lamont, is what we did this time is we've gone back to doing the previously on dubiousintent.com. And so what I need from folks to do now, if you don't have access to a recording device, then I don't want it. So don't do this over voicemail. I need you to actually record this and email it in. But what I want is I just want you, when you get a chance, any of you out there, if you would like to show up at the beginning of our show, just basically all I need you to say is the following words, previously on Dubious Intent Plus. And that's all you have to say. And you can just use your phone, but use a recording program on your phone or use your headset on your computer, whatever. Just record me a previously on Dubious Intent Plus. And email it to contact at dubiousintent or Daniel at danieljbrewer@gmail.com. And either one of those, I should be able to get it. Or Daniel at Pride 48. That's fine. But the point is just email it to me and then we can put you on the front of the show. Because it would just sound stupid for me to say it every week.
My thoughts exactly.
Now, if you're a podcaster and have access, to a microphone or recording thing, then by all means, please.
Yeah, if you're a podcaster and you send in some crap sound and audio, forget it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Won't judge.
I wish I could find a better version of the PVA. It seems like that is ripe to do. Like someone should just, like the Philharmonic or somebody should just re-record all of the old PBS themes. Because
we've put out a challenge. Philharmonic. No, I'm just saying
that they're such iconic songs, right? Like I love that. I hear that, and I am transported back to being a kid and watching the Bluehound or the Bloodhound Gang and stuff. I mean, it's like I used to watch 3-2-1 Contact. That was like my favorite show. It was like 3-2-1 Contact. I love that show. I love the I just wish that there was a studio quality version of that song that I could to lift, because the one that I have was taken from YouTube and then I've basically over processed it and tried to EQ it out to make it sound better and whatever like that. I know I'm boring people. All right, let's move on
I think this is the one that I let's see if this left. Oh, I'm getting an ad, damn it. This is the one that I is
oh this is Sesame Street.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, and I can already hear like a buzz in it, like it's off of VHS, and it's like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the problem is like I want a studio quality version of some of those old PBS themes. I think that would be great. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We do have a phone call. Let's get to that phone call right now, Adam. Right this very moment. Let's get to
Let's
it, shall
do
we?
It.
Let's do it.
Good morning, Dubious Intent Plus. Wait. This is Mayor TJ from Squareopolis. Oops.
Yes.
Squareopolis.
Yes.
And I have a mission for you, should you choose to accept it.
Yes.
Vote bacon.
Vote bacon. See, here's the thing. It's like Fatty feels like, my show's ended and blah, blah, blah. No, I plan on like every day this week, I'm just going to call on my way to work. I'm just going to call his voicemail number and just say vote bacon. Every day this week.
You should, I think. But I'm not going to spoil who won.
I'm going to say that guy was playing Christmas music up until like July, right? He's still playing, oh, I got another Christmas card today. Here's my little Christmas card music and whatnot. He's like, he has no semblance of like any kind of production over there.
It's true. He likes Christmas music.
I'm just saying, maybe we should just call. Just remember, it's never too late to call the BFO and end your phone call with vote for bacon. Vote bacon.
Maybe
hey, Fatty, I was
know.
Calling you because I had a question that I wanted to talk to you about, and I can't remember what it was. Vote bacon.
Right.
Right. Now, you know what? Speaking of beginnings of shows.
Yes.
Joe Batanz, friend of the show, Joe Batanz, was talking about other shows. And he's relatively new to podcasting, right? He doesn't have the deep history of podcasting that...
True.
Of podcast listening and stuff. So I was explaining a bunch of, Wes used to do a show called Live It Up. He hasn't always done this Tuukka and Beanie show. He used to do a show called Live It Up. In fact, I was a co-host on Live It Up and blah, blah, blah. And he asked me about my first show. And so I found an episode to send him of my first show, Callbox 7. And I know I've done this before. This surprises me so much. I'm going to play just this little snippet. I know this is very self-serving. I'm going to play this little, this is like the most perfect intro to a show ever.
It wasn't self-serving till you said that.
No, I'm just listen to this. Listen to this. All right, so we're going to do this here, right? This is the intro to the show. This is the entrance to Callbox 7. So there's like the music going in the background.
It's Labor Day.
Right. And so now Will and I are going to talk. Right.
I think so. Or Memorial Day. It's one of the two.
And so we do a little chit chat while the music's going.
I don't know. It's like one of them's at the beginning of summer.
It's what we like to call a cold
open. Live in Florida.
Right. You sound younger.
We don't really have season, this is, so
well, you'll hear the date in a second.
So happy Memorial Labor Day, everyone.
Right. And then.
Yes. Happy Labor Day for freedom of workers.
And then here's the catch.
Is that what it is? The freedom of workers?
Because this gets into a pre-recorded segment right here.
I think so.
Now we're going to have to look that up.
Is for celebrate workers.
On today's show, we'll catch you up with some news stories that you might have missed.
All right, then drop in after.
At 22:45, I'll take you back in time to August of 2005 for my artsy revisit of Hurricane Katrina. And Rachel Maddow will fill us in on what has taken place since. And at 42:55, we'll hear from you in our listener feedback segment. And we'll make a surprise call to somebody's voicemail system. For Sunday, September 2nd, 2007, I'm Daniel Brewer. He's Will Raddick. This is Callbox 7.
Isn't that like a great intro? That is just like that. It's got the energy. It's got the thing. It ends right. It hits the right beats. It's got the date included in it.
I'm
I really like that. I wish that we had an intro like that. I wish that we could incorporate the date into our intro.
Well, you know, you're the one that did. I don't know if you know this, Daniel Brewer, but you came up with that intro.
I did.
So are you saying you're a one-hit wonder?
No, what I'm saying is maybe, but in order for me to do something that punches like that, in order for me to do the thing that makes that thing work, the thing that makes that intro work is the way that it ends with the stinger, right? So it ends with the, you know, like blah, 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 this is DI plus, right? It's like, in other words, it's like kind of like, you know, it's a definitive kind of ending thing. And so we would have to change the theme song. So we would have to have new music for our theme song. Hmm. And I get resistance from that when I suggest that maybe we change our theme song.
I think we have a good, but if you were to make suggestions to, you've never suggested anything to me. So if you found something I liked better,
I just have to basically, you know, we should have ended the show because we kept saying the words.
I know. I was looking. And I was like, you realize you ended the show like five times.
There's a flag on the play. Oh my God, they're beating each other up. I can't believe this. It was all kind of a thing. So basically what you're saying, Adam, is if I go do a bunch of work that you'll do it. All right, fine. Whatever. Vote bacon. Yes? No? Are you going to say something? We screwed it up already. No, go ahead and say it. What?
I was going to say if you... No. I wasn't going to say the end of the show. I was going to say if you put together a bunch of openers and audition them to me...
Oh, great. I'll just...
I will be happy
maybe
to...
Maybe we should do like Mike and a friend of the show, Mike Lawson, right, and Joe Tance, and just have a bunch of like... Mike and Joe.
Right. Yes.
Two songs. No. I mean, we should do our... You know what? After this, I'm going to record a theme song for them, and I'm going to send it to
them. Yeah.
I know I am. All right, anyway, yeah. All right, vote bacon. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
I think that's the first time you've ended the show like five times without actually ending the show.
It's just so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
A flag on the play. I think someone's going to bust into a fist fight here in a moment.
I made that joke. Did you not just hear me make that joke? Like now you're repeating it. See, it's always better when you repeat them. It's always better
it
when
is.
You repeat it.
Right, well, great. Someone might have missed it.
Right, I got to get some lighting in this room. I am so... swamped in bills with the move and everything, so I can't afford decent lighting in here. Maybe I should start a GoFundMe to get lighting in the studio.
You should.
That'll be fun.
All right. The kids are doing it.
I know. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.